Town, Canada. This podcast is a member of the Talk and Audio Network. Find more at talkandaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Audio Whiplash. Ooh, how do you like me now?
Here we go again.
Hi.
Hello. Sorry, I was waiting for a formal introduction.
Ah, fuck you.
Well, they have all these other people in now, and they get all this special treatment. And we have
special treatment.
The regulars just get treated like shit, taken for granted. You never take me anywhere.
It's Belgian Moon out there for you.
Yes. Well, I just finished railing on about the Belgians.
True. In the future for some of you.
Well, no. Whatever.
Podcast tense.
As I've said to you before, and it got the hairs up on some people's neck.
Oh.
Belgians, newfies of Europe. Offending newfies and Belgians alike. A newfie saying, I'm not going to compare to those losers.
Okay. Speaking of horrible generalizations and intolerances.
Exactly. We'll keep us on the rails because I know Rob is in the studio. Yeah. Matt likes to keep things
It's
neat and tidy.
Oh. That would be news to just about anybody who...
It smells 40% more like farts in here.
I'm blanking on the...
The math?
No, the Kid Rock reference from...
I think Kid Rock looks like he smells like...
That's it.
Cigarettes and old farts.
Yes.
And he says, hey, cigar and fresh farts.
Mean tweets. I'm sure there's most people in the world have seen them by this point, but if not, hit your YouTube machine and type in mean
and they're
tweets.
Hilarious. It's,
they are.
Because if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Fuck Andy Garcia.
I'm not even positive I know what Andy Garcia does. Just,
and that's the thing.
Of course,
that's the beauty of the thing, right?
But somebody has to know who he is.
Well, of course, he was in Godfather 3. So to me, he's...
3.
Yeah, okay. And to me, that's it's the worst. Right? Godfather 1 and 2 was the same, but was the book split into 2.
Okay.
Right? So 3 was...
Do you ever get into Orange is the New Black?
I watched season 1.
That's all you need to watch. I watched season 2. It was okay. Season 3, I couldn't even finish. It was like, hey, someone wrote an awesome book and we should turn it into a TV show.
Right.
And then now we have to write our own more of the story and we're not good at it. And like,
okay. And so
when you lose that guideline,
the book was based on season 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I was interested, right? Like the girl who was an investment banker or whatever, who goes to jail and she, in the end of season 1, she brains that.
Piper.
Yeah, she brains that little sort of religious meth freak.
Right. I liked her. She fucking crazy as shit.
Yeah, but that's how it ended, right? And you're like...
Spoilers for those of you who haven't seen 4-year-old.
And you know what? On the way over here, I'm listening to... And I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, right? I have it PVR'd for tonight because I'm not...
You see Noah Syndergaard?
I did not.
Okay.
And I watched that scene.
Yeah.
And the next morning you said to me, hey... If you have
I don't watch the show. It was a big deal online.
You know what? It's dynamite. And we've talked about it here before, and we're not going to get into it again. But you don't get past the dragons. There's all kinds of intrigue, political and otherwise, right? Violence.
Yeah.
Boobies.
I don't need to give up an hour to find those.
No, but to me the ebbs and flows and the turns in the show are awesome. And there's some great characters. Yeah. You got to kind of suspend the whole high fantasy thing, right, with the dragons.
And I get that. And I've done it before. But
to me, the interesting part was on the way over here and listening to the radio, they were saying $10 million per episode.
To produce?
To produce. okay, that's fine, right? You look at that and go, they're doing those, they're filming them in North Ireland, they're filming them in Reykjavik, so in Iceland,
yep.
They're filming them in Morocco, right? The sets are in a variety of places.
Okay.
Okay, but then they said, now, contrast that, you know, flashback 20 years ago, $10 million per episode of Friends.
I remember when that became big news on the later on, to be honest with you, I became a fan of that show, like much later on in its
run. Yeah, well, I loved, in the 90s, I loved Courtney Cox.
Yeah, no, for sure. A little Dancing in the Dark. And
okay, yeah, even better.
Sure.
Wait for that later too, ladies and gentlemen.
But I remember when they each of the stars wanted $2 million an episode.
Okay, so they got $1 million an episode was where that capped out at.
Okay.
So when there's six of them, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So, well, there's $6 million in salary, which so Game of Thrones, I don't think is.
Well, but as that rolls on, right, and becomes like it's probably the biggest show on TV right now.
Oh, it is absolutely the biggest show on TV.
And, you know, so those stars, I'm sure, continue to get more and more. But, you know, you're talking about HBO versus NBC. So less distribution, but more income in terms of what it costs to have the.
Right. But well, the show is crushed. Now, you know what? You're an HBO guy. I'm an HBO guy. And I know you have other topics you want to get to before the shit that just spills out of my head comes out. I started watching probably a week ago. I started watching Ballers.
Okay. I watched a few episodes of season one. I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't as good as I'd hoped. Now, I'm told by a couple people stick with it. Gets better.
Okay, so I'm through five episodes season one.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's right now, it's Entourage.
But for sports.
But for sports. And sort of, but to me, as of right now, I watched Entourage after it was done.
Right.
So I binged the whole seven seasons.
Yeah.
I didn't love season one. Right? In terms of how the characters developed.
Yeah.
You need a season to sort of marinate. But as of right now, there is no Johnny drama, right? There is no sort of...
Loser in the group?
Well, there is. Yeah, there's the big country.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's the, you know, Charles Green, right? But to me, it's
Green.
To me, you know how Entourage ended sort of with... It became more decadent.
Yeah.
The storyline sort of... became thinner, but it was more about topless chicks, and there was, you know, it seemed to be less, and it was very top end, you know, in terms of the production and the scenery.
Yeah, it was very thinly, you know, there was no great writing to it anymore, if there ever was.
Whereas I think what I'm getting from season one up until the point I'm at with, it seems to be Entourage at the end, right, which is there's cameos, all kinds of sports cameos.
Yeah, yeah.
Big homes, expensive money, people throwing cash around like crazy. But yeah, so to me, I'm willing to give it a little more, right? Because I loved Entourage, right? So, but anyway, I was checking that out and thinking, I'm wondering if you've seen it. But
but not much further than you.
Right? All right. Well,
haven't written it off, but.
And I'm going to write it out because they're into season three now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm gonna give it up till we get to.
Give it up.
Get up to date.
There it is.
Oh, I was going to say, we can't both.
No, I was trying to.
Have a pull in the beer or vomit at the same time.
You never want to do anything together anymore.
You never do.
Yes. Going back to.
Exactly.
I'd like to talk just for a couple of seconds.
Yep.
About the events in Charlottesville, Virginia this week. Because it's gotten a little ugly, and I've often found that when you get into a debate with someone online or in person or whatever, there's only a certain point you can get to before someone wants to throw down the, you know, what they deem to be the nuclear option that just ends the discussion because you're now being so ridiculous. And a lot of the time you find that term is Nazi. Or worse than Hitler, or something like that. And what I'm finding coming out of Virginia is that people have become a little numb to that because those sorts of terms get thrown around when they don't actually apply. And so then on the counter end of it, you are more prepared to defend those terms because you've heard them so often, or maybe it, to so many of us who weren't directly impacted by maybe what a Nazi did at some point.
Yeah.
They've just become characters in your war movies or your video games or whatever. And so when you see real Nazis, which we saw this, people go, they're not real Nazis. They're doing the fucking salute. They're waving the Nazi flag. Like, there are pictures of this. There's real evidence. These people exist. And I want to let you jump in here, but the part that's really bugging me is all of this noise coming out of different politicians or people saying, Americans saying, this isn't us, or this isn't the real America. And you know what? It's not all of you. It's not even the majority of you. But to suggest that this isn't America is to ignore hundreds of years of facts and evidence that say this does exist in your country. To say this isn't the real America is the most American reaction to violence occurring in America that you could possibly imagine. This is real and it's happening. And three people died and there's been a bunch of people hurt. And the bigger problem is even the people who are the most hardcore opposed on the left side to these, you know, alt-right are pretending that it's not real, that it's just this, you know, it couldn't possibly happen here. There was a 90-year-old on Twitter yesterday who said 73 years ago, I signed up to fight the Nazis. If I have to do it again, I will. Well, I get it. Like,
yeah, of course you do.
But that's how – this is a real fucking thing, and you can't just say anymore, this isn't the real America. Yeah, it is. This is part of what America is, and it's never been solved. It's never been – and that's why it's still boiling over, you know, to sit there and get all pissed off saying – because there's a bunch of people – well, Trump didn't condemn it strongly enough, and he didn't. But this started long before Donald Trump.
Yeah. No, and – you know, we sat here on this same show and we talked about after the Miami nightclub shooting, right?
Yeah.
Just how exasperated Barack Obama had become with that.
Yep.
And how many times he had to go on air and speak to a nation or speak on behalf of a nation. It just with no answers, right? And these things continue to happen. And hate is real, right?
Yeah.
And now, you look at the different hate crimes that happen, the Paris shootings and bombings and et cetera, right?
Yep.
Religious-based hate crimes, terrorism. These are, I won't say uniquely at this time, American crimes, but it does seem to be. Now, you see these things, right? Norway had their issues. I know the Netherlands is dealing with a lot of
Belgium is in
Germany, a lot of places in Europe where they're dealing with an intolerance of immigrants, of difference in culture and religion. But man, look to the States for the blueprint of how to handle these things.
Well, like, to me, this is almost, and everything's tied together in some way. It's extremely complicated. But to me, this had very little to do with immigrants, right? This is more white on black, black on white. They're talking about, you know, it's more Confederate issues. It's
well, the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia, where they still hold their pants up with binder twine. Yeah, I don't think is the spot you look to for sort of
guidance.
And cultural tolerance, and you're right. And I did take it in that other direction. But what I'm talking about is an intolerance.
Yeah.
Right, for somebody who's different, and I'm not sure if I've ever spoke about it here, but growing up where I grew up, I thought I was the most tolerant person. Now I know. Seems like a wicked stretch. I totally get it. But in terms of, I didn't feel like I had some First Nations friends, but man, my school was white.
Right.
White.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, I can say.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, I can say I am super tolerant. I can say, but you don't know if there's nobody different than you.
That's right.
You just hate different people. right? People who are different than you.
Yep. But in this situation.
But what I'm saying I moved, right? I moved to Ottawa, right? A very multicultural city, right? And you end up with, it's like this default hardwired thing that says, oh, people, that's different. Well, yeah. There's nothing wrong with them, but you're just like, it bothers me. There's just like this thing, right? And you have to work past it.
So I think what's bothering me and a lot of people in this one in particular is there is no doubt that if a person of Middle Eastern descent drove their car into a group of white people, you would and have called that terrorism.
Yeah.
And the fact that here we can't, or some people refuse to, these are actual Klan members. These are actual Nazis. Yeah. They are identifying themselves as that. Not everyone who showed up to protest. I understand that. And I'm not saying all of America is full of Nazis.
One of the greatest acts of terrorism to ever occur in the United States was committed by Americans.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City bombings. Of course. Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
That is...
Well, someone had...
That is terrorism.
Someone had put up a statistic. Since 2001, it was like 62% of terrorist acts on American soil had been committed by white people.
Yeah.
Like that, but we don't call it that.
Oh, it's absolutely that.
Yeah, but like, I have this real problem with, I don't think anything ever changes, and maybe I can blissfully sit here in Canada and just look down my nose at you or whatever, but it's not like things have been great. It's not like we have none of that happening here.
Right. It's on a much smaller scale.
Right.
But we are 1/10 of the population.
That's right.
And I caution myself in this conversation because it's so real and it's so serious. The issue is so important that I don't want to come across as trivial.
Right.
Or that these are real problems everywhere.
But when you have people on camera, on television, in pictures, self-identifying, I'm not exaggerating, as a Nazi, you lose the ability as a Republican, as a right-winger, as an alt-right, whatever, a Tea Party, to go on and go, Nazi's just some term that the conservative or the left throws around to... No. Well,
if you call
this guy is showing you that's himself. And I think my biggest thing is just that nothing will ever change as long as people on both sides, the right and left, are going, this isn't really us. This isn't the real America.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fuck it is. Because for 100, 200 years, 300 years, this has been going on.
If you allow somebody in your party who calls non-whites mud people, you need to self-police. Those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
That is not acceptable.
And I understand those types of quotes, not the one that you just wrote, but are supposed to be aspirational. This isn't really us. We can be, but you're failing yourselves if you won't look in the mirror and go, we have real problems. This is the real America.
Right.
Not because it's a majority of you who feel this way, but because these issues have always happened and continue to happen.
Well,
it can't be fixed until you go, maybe this is us.
To me, Brian Mulroney was a right-wing politician in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? Conservative, aligned himself as closely as he could with Ronald Reagan in the States.
Yes.
It seems to be in Canada we're having more people, though, who are pushing that right wing further out, right?
Yes.
And so you start to have people start to say things like, yeah, when you come here, you should do X, Y, Z, right? No longer, it's like we're trying to, on the right wing side of the political spectrum, we're trying to distance ourselves from mosaic and move more to melting pot. On the right wing side is where I'm suggesting.
Yeah. It just gets further and further and further. And
you're in
Canada. Can remember in history class, you've used the term mosaic. That's fine. It was tossed salad versus melting pot.
Oh, see, tossed salad. That's
But whatever, right? You show up here and you do your thing in amongst everyone else doing their thing was the idea. And in the U.S., you show up and you adapt to the fucking U.S.
Yep. Which is the mosaic, that. Right? Which is a bunch of different patterns.
But we're losing that here.
Well, I think what I'm saying to you is there is certainly a certain segment of the population who wants to hide under the conservative right-wing banner who have other issues, right? To me, I love the idea as a theory of us living in Toronto now, whites are the minority, right? That you can have a vibrant society with people practicing all religions, speaking many languages, right? To me, that's a workable situation.
No, and it can be, but so what's the difference? Like, why is it that there's not people driving into each other? There's hate in Toronto for sure, but there's not people running over each other in Toronto. There's not these constant flare-ups like we're seeing.
And what I'm saying is I think a lot of those people, and you know what? Matty Lang would be a great person to ask about this. And
This is it.
And I think, has he always lived in Toronto or the GTA?
Yeah.
Okay. And so to me, as opposed to me growing up in this sort of strictly white area, right? If you grow up in an area where you're always in this sort of really mixed bag of races and ethnicities,
sure.
And that it's just normal. It's just what you get.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Canadians come from a very different starting position.
It's just so odd to me, man, that it's this imaginary line we've drawn across the continent. You know, this side's Canada, this side's the U.S. We all came from the same place, right? Like,
but
in
we
terms
haven't.
Of Europe,
but we haven't though.
Well, and when it all started, we did, right? It was all British and European.
Okay,
but I understand things have been very different since then.
Forever, right? Yeah. And when you look at them willing to go, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. They had the population based, and they were like, we're not going to kowtow to Britain anymore.
Yeah,
we're separating. We're going to do this. And then there was some, you know, patriots versus loyalists, right, in those days. And you have those ones who were loyal say, okay, that's how it's gone. We're moving north.
Head up here.
Right? And so you ended up, the very flavor is different, right? You have patriots and loyalists, the ones who are willing to say, fuck you. I'm going to fight to do my own thing, right? And so those are the ones who stayed. The softer, I think, sort of more dove-ish.
Sure.
Move north, right? And I think that is the basis.
It's so interesting to me that you can have such a short memory and not that, you know, that just say, this land is my land and I will fight to keep you out of it because you're different than me. And go, but you like, people
life,
don't
liberty in the pursuit of
killing people. Happiness, I understand.
Well, but the actual quote is
justice.
Personal property.
I didn't know it was personal property. But to me, to go, both Canadians and Americans are absolutely immigrant countries.
For sure.
That's how it was built.
For sure.
But to have no concept of that whatsoever and go, okay, but no more. No one else comes here. No one comes from other parts of the world. This is my land and this is what. Fuck you, you ignorant.
Well, and you know what? And the thing is, it's so interesting. I moved to Ottawa when I was 5. Lived here for a bit, moved away in my early teens.
Right.
Came back for university. And I remember when I was young, it was Jamaicans. There was a big Jamaican influx in the 70s and 80s. And sort of people sort of were like, wow, what's with this? What's happening with in a very white society, right?
Yeah.
You had a lot of these Caribbean, but Jamaican predominantly. These people came here, started up businesses, did a bunch of things, and they just assimilated into doing their own thing. When I went away, came back in my 20s, right? And there was a huge Somalian influx at that time,
yep.
Right? Over 20 years ago now, right? you see Somali girls working in grocery stores, doing a bunch of things.
That grew up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, you always have to have that. If you're going to be that immigrant nation, right, you have to allow people to get their feet under them. And people are always going to lean back on what they're most familiar with.
Sure.
And so you allow them to – and we are talking about a generation, 20 years at least, right, for them to sort of spread their wings and sort of move away from what they don't know and learn what – you know, learn some things, be exposed to different things. It doesn't happen overnight. People don't show up and go, "Woo! The first 40 years of my life never happened."
Right. It's just, it's, this was so blatant to me to watch the exact same debates that we have all the time, mostly about American culture, left versus right, and all these sorts of things, to actually see in 2017 someone flying a Nazi flag and then be expected to go, "Well, there's two sides to every argument." No, that's not what that stands for, right? That's not – this was all about taking down a statue of Lee, right? Robert E. Lee, I believe, was where this all started at Emancipation Park. That was an interesting piece of irony as to where this all took place. I don't know, man. This touched a nerve for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. I'm sitting here at a safe distance, but I'm just – I grow tired of the argument. I grow tired of the debate where we have to pretend that – there are two sides to every argument and they're both equally valid. Some people are just fucking ignorant.
I think the First Amendment, right? The whole idea of freedom of speech and all that sort of stuff is trumped somewhere down the line by, it can't be hate speech.
Right.
Right. You can't go that route, right? You should be able to speak your mind. Free of any shackles.
If I'm a Republican, I'm horrified that my party now includes, apparently, because it keeps, as you mentioned, even here, being stretched further and further to the right, the Nazis and the Klan. That's what you're...
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's how the average Republican feels, but they now put themselves under your umbrella and your president won't step in and go, we condemn that. We don't.
Because he's not a real Republican.
Well, right. But David Duke, right, one of the top guys in the KKK, is claiming victory here, going, "The president speaks with us," because he won't condemn. And he's saying, "Remember who voted you in." Oh, fuck my bases. Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. And don't think that doesn't resonate all around the world.
Yeah.
Right? When he says, "Remember who voted you in." Disenfranchised white people. That's who voted you in.
Man. So, I mean, this sort of ties in. I don't know. We don't need to spend a ton of time on it. But a report comes out. It was in the Ottawa Citizen. It was in a bunch of different publications that MSNBC has moved into second place in terms of where people are going to get their political news. It's become home for the anti-Trump crowd. Were you as surprised as me that Fox was as far ahead
I've never watched Fox.
I've never once watched Fox News.
Ever.
No.
And
do we get it here? Like, would it be so foreign to us as...
And I hear MSNBC, I think of Geraldo Rivera.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure why that is, but... I'm like, isn't that where the Geraldo show went after he became a little too zany for
afternoon television?
You know, exactly, that he ended up on MSNBC. And you're like, no. So
they're saying recently Fox was beating MSNBC and CNN combined.
Well, I was surprised. Mostly what was most surprising in that was that Fox CNN has slipped below a million.
Yeah.
Like down around the 900,000 viewers range.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's – like CNN, I turn on when there's a big hurricane, right? Or when there's a – but the guy who's taken over there, and his name escapes me, comes from ESPN. Oh. And if you watch their network for 2 minutes, you understand exactly why they – and it's always, you know, during the exact same promos you would see on ESPN. Tonight, Hillary versus Trump, the debates. You don't want to miss it, right? And you're like,
dun, dun, dun.
Right. Exactly. And that's what these things are. And then so they we've talked in the past about how they hire people to represent both sides, and their nightly shows are panel shows that are all arguments. And we saw this quote in this piece, and we'll share it, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, at TallCanAudio on Twitter, all that shit.
All those good places that you normally get your stuff.
We'll share that for you. There's a quote in here that's saying they're not really expecting.
Yeah, go ahead, because that to me was that jumped off the page at me.
And the final words is here. How did you word it?
Well, what they're saying
is essentially
they're not expecting unbiased.
Right.
This is
journalism.
This is it. They're expecting you to take sides.
Yeah.
And be, you know, provocative.
Fuck, that's troubling, man. No wonder we're in the same or the place we're in.
This is it. And if you harken back to the previous conversation. You want to have, I get it. I get certain networks are going to have leanings.
Yeah.
Try and be as sort of middle of the road as you can.
Understand who you're speaking to and speak their language, but tell them what they should need to hear. The real fucking world.
This is it. And so really what you're doing is you're checking in on MSNBC and you're checking in with Fox.
Yeah.
So as they said, MSNBC is where people go now for the daily updates on how bad Trump has fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Right? So which is where Fox was 10 years ago, where people were looking for a little counter Democratic movement sort of angle, right? Can we get some anti-Obama Obama speak
Obama.
Here?
Obama.
Oh, yeah. Watermelondra.
No, it's scary to me that this is the news is supposed to be this one thing. Get the facts.
Can you deliver the facts?
Right.
No, you cannot.
And to hear a guy who used to run these networks go, people don't want the facts. They just want to. Oh, my God.
They want you to toe the party line. They want to be fed rhetoric, and they want you to fire them up. You won't believe what happened today. Yo.
And so the problem becomes, let's say, just for the sake of whatever, the Democrats do three stupid things tomorrow, and the Republicans do one stupid thing tomorrow. I know, but try and stay with me.
Yeah.
The
belief fully suspended.
If you then go on the news and say and report all three stupid things the Democrats did and the one stupid thing the Republicans did, the left side will lose their shit and go, you're picking on us. It was three times the negative stories on. The news is
supposed
to... You
did three times the negative shit.
Right. This news is supposed to be, it doesn't matter what side you're on. It doesn't matter what slant you have. Here's what actually happened. But we are no longer capable of having that. We're no longer capable of adjusting to that. It's my side watches MSNBC and their side watches Fox and they'll get their news and I'll get my news. That's not the way
And so in a nutshell, what you're saying is just deliver...
We have no hope.
Just deliver the facts. This happened, this happened, this happened, and then this happened on the Republican side. And then let people go,
yeah,
hey, that's totally fucked up.
Yeah.
See what happened there? Those guys. And then through the days, as you continue to report actual events and facts, people then go, man, that's a lot of negative stuff that's happening there.
But instead, it gets spun as fake news.
Cheerleading.
Or,
yeah, there's a lot of cheerleading and...
You're just out to get my side and you're... Like, it's it's just become shit. Like, it's just become... Like I said, to have a guy who used to run ESPN now running your news, what I would have assumed was at worst the second biggest news organization in the world or in America.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not. Maybe that's not surprising to you Americans who are living down there and consuming. I'm surprised CNN was a third place now.
Okay, but let's just look at this now and slightly moving away or at least stepping aside from that conversation.
Yeah.
As you said, Fox has traditionally in the recent past been double or the other two combined.
Yes. They're beating the other two combined.
Fox News. So you're talking about... They were saying 1.9 versus 1.6, whereas Fox is up around 3.8.
Yeah.
That means only 7.5 million people.
The rest of you are watching Big Brother.
This is it. Bachelorette and all other shit. Only 7.5 million.
What did I just say? No hope.
7.5 million people.
Yeah.
Out of 350-ish are watching
and
news.
They all get the vote.
Yikes. And so I'm like,
oh, I'm troubled.
I'm surprised by CNN, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at it and go, those are like Canadian numbers.
Right. That's who's watching the National every night.
This is it, right? You're like, okay, but that's 1 in 30.
Actually,
there, that's 1 in 350.
I wish I was exaggerating. The Leafs on Hockey Night in Canada are outdrawing CNN on the average Saturday night or the average.
Right. Well,
ooh, and their population's 10 times bigger.
This is it. And so to me, you'll go, well, what are they
We're
doing?
We're fucking doomed.
What are those
man.
People doing? They're watching like, you know, tiny tight cheerleaders, cheerleader moms. Or
I'd watch that.
Yeah,
moms.
Not really though.
I mean, not, where does the comma go in cheerleader moms or what?
Yeah, because you know what, cheerleaders are too young.
Yeah,
and the moms are just
too old,
flabby ass.
Are their moms of
shopping at Walmart and shit. It's just disgusting.
That's you, America.
Super
shopping at America or shopping at Walmart, just flabby and disgusting. Poking a fight with Kim Jong-un, who is coming off as the more sane of the two leaders at this point.
Yeah, well, and so the guy at work who is a huge Trump booster.
Oh, everybody's got one of those.
Okay, and he's like, yeah, well, he goes, I hope they understand that this jackass is just talking crazy. And I'm like, well, which one? He's like, well, Trump. And I'm like, well, see, this is what we talked to. He's like, well, I was talking about if he would stay domestic like he said he was gonna. You can't let that crazy bastard talk about.
Oh, my God.
He's the president of the United States. You couldn't extrapolate out. You couldn't see how this was gonna happen. Idiot.
He's found the only guy crazy enough to be. Like, even if he starts fucking with the Russians aren't going to start firing shit off. They didn't in the Cold War. They know what happens. They know. He just found some crazy bastard who's 30 years old in North Korea and running the country, got the people brainwashed to shit. Go, yeah, let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
We're taking San Fran right now. Sorry, Guam, right? Like,
well, and the thing is, I'm not sure a country who has elected Donald Trump, right, that you get to say, who else gets to have nukes?
Right.
Right? You're like, hey, you can't have nukes. You're crazy as shit. Well, and you look and go, hey, you're the only guys who have dropped two. I'm not sure you get to decide who gets to have them and not have them. Your track record blows.
Right.
No, thank you. I'll put my faith in the Israelis,
who's
but not
that,
you.
Who's the crazy guy doing the painting on Entourage and Real Celebrity? Wanted.
Oh yeah, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. I remember Obama in the White House dinner, whatever. He's taking shots at Donald Trump, going, "I've always been curious about your way of doing business. You know, you have the chance to fire P. Diddy or whatever it is, and you fired Gary Busey. Why is that? Like, why would you? This is the fucking guy who's got the button
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah.
This is
P. Diddy, you're fired.
Sticking it out with Busey." Honestly, I kind of get Kim Jong-un at this point. I'm feeling a little antagonized by some crazy orange goblin.
With terrible hair.
Weird little hands.
Oh. Don't go there.
His weird little hands?
Yeah, and I know it's fingers and toes and
right, yeah.
Tongues.
Let's see. All right. Are we done on this?
That's Matt's exasperated.
Honestly, this was, we've seen a lot of crazy shit. I didn't think I'd ever be watching television in 2017 and see people wearing Nazi t-shirts and doing the salute and doing the, this was a bit much. And then you look at the way people are consuming what they think is news. You go, yeah, all right, well, we're all fucked.
And again, the most concerning part of the whole thing is
how few of you,
how
are
few
actually
of them are actually
me.
Consuming what they think is news.
At some point, I'm just going to head out on my balcony, put my feet up, and watch the fucking light show down to the south, because...
Well, we're a good hour north of the border, so...
It's not enough, because I kind of feel like at some point, if you're that pissed at America, you'll sacrifice one or two bombs into Canada to go, and you fuckers too.
Yeah, we're going to throw a couple potatoes with nails across the border.
Take that and that. Screw you.
It's TCA diplomacy, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what our military is. Yeah.
Potato cannons with nails in it.
This is it.
Love
Aha!
it. Love
Take
it.
That. Take that.
Let's get the fuck out of here, man.
Woohoo.
That's Audio Whiplash.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.